Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 286. PYP is 4, just like Zen. The crazy thing was is I never really exactly brought that to the forefront of my attention that last year Zen was 3, the podcast was 3, and I turned 53. This year I was like, wow, Zen's 4, the podcast is 4, and I'm 54. Like, well, it's kind of been that way since you got Zen. But anyways, thought that was kind of cool. We're all rolling with fours. But it's a very proud moment for me. I don't say that a lot. I don't feel that exceptionally a lot. But when I start something, I commit to it. I stay consistent. It's never been a bad thing. And it's always turned into an amazing thing. And it becomes one of those huge stones in my foundation. And then you just build upon it. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just 2 + 2 = 4. You do that. You do it a little at a time. You do it consistently. It will build over a lot of more time. It will become a huge stone in your foundation. And you won't even have to focus on it anymore. It will just be there for you to build upon. So I'm just thankful for everything that I went through, you know, from sending out the Sunday morning messages to playing around for a minute with Mike Furman, and then 6 years in between that, I finally healed and kind of got to this place where I said, you know, it was the morning after Thanksgiving 2014, and I said, I'm going to start my podcast. I know what I want to do. I know what I, you know, because I was thankful and I was mindful. And that's how I healed. That's what I'm going to tell people on my podcast, to be thankful and to be mindful. And, you know, people, Chris Hardwick said he had heard it about year 3, you'll kind of find your groove. And I was like, wow, year 3. And it's really what happened. And that last year, it was part of that spiritual journey I went on. You know, I was rolling nice and tight with Zen. My world got smaller. I started to become empowered. And there it was. You know, my walk became apparent, my path. And it just was basically walk the earth, have real experiences, trying to be a better me, and then share those experiences, which would help me to continue to heal. Because as soon as something happened, I'm like, oh, I get to talk about that in the podcast, which created a little bit of distance automatically. And again, just like that, the more I did that, the more that happened. That was a muscle that got stronger, that made me feel better, that helped me become a better version of me, which made me thankful, which made me feel better. So then I just wanted to do it more because I liked feeling better. And there's a deep, 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 sophisticated, fancy secret of being pro you. So again, I'm just stoked. You know, I started running, you know, within the last couple of years, you know, 52 to 54. And when Zen was hurt this past summer, I was also a little funky, but didn't run. And now it's probably been about solid 3-4 months of running 6 mornings a week, every week, and feeling fantastic. And then finally got going and said, I'm going to do a live workout Wednesday, just to get me accountable, just to get me consistent. And for a while, it was kind of the only workout I was doing. And then I was sputtering along and workout probably 14, 15 of the live workout Wednesday. If I started feeling better. And then I was getting creative. And then I was thinking of things. And then I kind of had fun. And then I was pushing myself. And then I was getting, you know, I put out episode number 22 and got like 120 views. And I go, well, there you go. I mean, you know, people are really watching this. You're feeling good. You know what your message is. And it's like, and how did it start? Just like the podcast, one moment at a time. Just like running, one moment at a time. Just like doing the live workout Wednesday, one rep at a time, one exercise at a time, one workout at a time, one Wednesday at a time. And when I look back, and I'm right now, you know, going to turn 54 at the end of March, if I sit down with someone and when we start talking, I know how I feel about what I've done. I know what I like, and it's the things that I've done consistently as of late, like post 50. Like what I've done post 50 are the things that I'm the most proud of, because that's when I began the new walk. You know, didn't start the spiritual journey till I was 52, but it was just a different walk going, okay, I'm choosing my thoughts. I'm going to pick what voice I listen to. I'm going to be that voice, and I'm going to listen to me, and I'm going to build a new vibe, hopefully attract a new tribe. And that's the path I've been walking. So come to my well, by the water I sell. And I'm thankful, thankful, thankful for all that have listened, supported, followed, shared, chimed in. You know, a bunch of people have become my friends. A few have become clients. And that's all because I started a podcast. I wanted to create energy. I wanted to help people because it made me feel good. So eternally grateful for this podcast, for its listeners, and all that it's brought to my life. Enjoy. There'll be two things I'm going to read today. Both authors unknown. That's how I roll. Things are not always what they seem. Two traveling angels stopped to spend the night in the home of a wealthy family. The family was rude and refused to let the angels stay in the mansion's guest room. Instead, the angels were given a small space in the cold basement. As they made their bed on the hard floor, the older angel saw a hole in the wall and repaired it. When the younger angel asked why, the older angel replied, "Things aren't always what they seem." The next night, the pair came to rest at the house of a very poor but very hospitable farmer and his wife. After sharing what little food they had, the couple let the angel sleep in their bed where they could have a good night's rest. When the sun came up the next morning, the angels found their farmer and his wife in tears. Their only cow, whose milk had been their sole income, lay dead in the field. The younger angel was infuriated and asked the older angel, "How could you have let this happen? The first man had everything, yet you helped him," she accused. "The second family had little, but was willing to share everything, and you let the cow die." "Things aren't always what they seem," the older angel replied. "When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed there was gold stored in the hole in the wall. Since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share his good fortune, I sealed the wall so he wouldn't find it. Then last night, as we slept in the farmer's bed, the angel of death came for his wife. I gave him the cow instead." Things aren't always what they seem. Sometimes that is exactly what happens when things don't turn out the way they should. If you have faith, you just need to trust that every outcome is always to your advantage. You might not know it until sometime later. The next one is entitled Bread. In the business section of the Oregonian, a bread maker from a bread company wrote how our lives are a lot like a loaf of bread. We need the same things to make bread that we need to build character. We need a right proportion of ingredients, not too much of this or too little of that. We need an animating principle like the yeast or leaven, something to enliven us, a passion. We need to be kneaded, mixed well by the slow rhythmic pattern of everyday life. Periodically, we need to rest in a warm place with a towel over our heads. We need to be punched down, sometimes at the peak of our rising, and we need to be tested in the fires of suffering. Ultimately, our lives are without meaning until we're broken and shared. We're not meant to stay on the shelf, but to be given away. So PYP is 4. And coincidentally, so is Zen. Zen turned 4 February 1st, and the beginning of March 4 years ago is when I began Pro You Podcast, which is now 4. So thinking about this episode, it was like, wow, just when I say it, it's like I've been doing this for 4 years. It's the cool part of it is I've been consistent, but there's like that long? Like I've been doing it that long now. I remember the first one. I remember when I kind of started playing around with it with Mikey Furman, you know, and then stopped. And 5 years later, I recorded the first podcast, and I was like, I just want to do one. I just want to do one. Like, I put out an episode called Tom's Story, and I don't know what episode number it was, but it was kind of like my life story up until the podcast began. I kind of wanted to give you like the cliff notes of that. So, born and raised in Minnesota, Catholic, altar boy, went to Catholic grade school, went to a public junior high, public high school, played a bunch of different sports, didn't really grasp any one of them, but I was really kind of just, I don't want to say lost, but I didn't know who I was because there was just a lot of fear and there was just a lot of kind of negativity. Like there was fear at home with my father. Not the greatest dude in the world to me. And then when I went to school, there was always some kid that didn't like me or wanted to fight me. And I was just, so that was always kind of the battle. Like I'd go to school and I was a nice guy. You know, I didn't pick fights. I never swung first, but it was just this thing that just, and then I'd go home and had to deal with that. So that became kind of the exploratory journey of my life is rediscovering that, going through that, finding out what the problem was. But that was kind of the impetus of me at 18 joining martial arts. And that kind of started changing my life because I found me. I found a passion. It was a sport that I was waiting to find. Like, I just loved it. And I went every day and it would just consume me. And I needed something to consume me. And then it gave me an identity. I knew who I was. I was walking the earth as, okay, now I like me. Now I'm starting to understand me. And I didn't care about what other people felt. And that's when it kind of started, you know, the journey began. And moved to Vegas in 91 to hang out with the girl. She had moved there earlier from Minnesota. And that's a whole other story. My long-term relationships typically ended in me being cheated on. So this lady cheated on me, and I still went out to Vegas to hang with her. So I guess when you're weighing out the good and the bad, going to meet a girl and hang out, live, share your life with, who had recently cheated on you, wasn't as bad as staying where you were. And it kind of just, again, began the journey of, am I searching for a place to live? Am I searching for myself? Am I just looking for what's out there? So I ended up working for a health club, and then I got into a live stunt show at the Excalibur Hotel called King Arthur's Tournament. Began riding a horse, sword fighting, jousting, growing my hair, and I was like 28. Going, wow, finance degree, and I got long hair, and I'm jousting. And, you know, I worked 5 to 10, 6 nights a week and started training people during the day and, you know, started a clothing company, you know, just different things. You know, it was modeling, kind of dabbled in a little acting. And that's when it was kind of like, oh, there's different people. A lot are like me. And Vegas was great because you could get anything, anywhere, anytime. But there was also a lot of bad because of those same variables. And I really didn't have a time ETA when I was going to leave, but I would have guessed maybe a couple years. Hey, I'm going to move to Vegas, but stayed there 9. And my first marriage happened there, ended there. We got married. Everything was great. A month later, my spouse's only sister committed suicide. So that blew up her family, blew her life up. We were planning on moving to California. She was previously from there, but living in Vegas at the time. And that was our plan. Get married. We're going to go to L.A. I'm going to pursue acting. She's coming with. So when this happened, I mean, it kind of blew up everything. Changed every plan I ever had. And I didn't know what to do. But I thought, well, after about 3 months of being in Vegas and nothing was really getting better, I thought, well, what if I head to L.A., you know, during the week, came back on the weekends and just started planting seeds and see what I could come up with. She seemed fine with that. It began 6 months later. I found out she was cheating on me, moved out, and wanted a divorce. So moved back from L.A., back to Vegas, went through the divorce, and that was a pretty tough year. She had taken just about everything out of the house, and I was kind of left with nothing, sitting there with, like, no wife, no job, no nothing, and I kind of felt like I had failed in L.A., because I just, you know, came back a wreck. And it was about a year later that I was like, you know what, I'm going back. And that first trip kind of taught me a lot about what not to do in L.A. when you're going to pursue acting. So although it was horrible and uncomfortable, it really taught me a lot. So the next time, like, look, I'm going to pursue acting, but I'm going to get a job so I have income so I can pay my bills. Then I'm here forever. Like, I'm going to move this time and not have to move back for any other reason. I'm not going to go anywhere else. And I didn't, like, fall in love with it. You know, it wasn't like I was going to the beach or anything. I was just like, well, I want to go there and I want to stay. So it's not going there waiting to be an actor. It's going there working. And then that everything just kind of started. Started training, started teaching my kickbox cardio class, and was able to pursue acting and, you know, getting agents and doing acting classes. And it was a pretty good time. And boom, got married again. This time lasted a lot longer, but same thing, extramarital affair. And she said she wanted to move, and I said, you know, things weren't going great in L.A. at the time. And I said, well, I'll move back to where she was from, the city of Orange, which is like an hour south of L.A. And I figured, you know, let me just go there, refocus, whatever. And it was a trippy time, because leaving there meant I had to kind of commute from Orange to L.A. for my clients. So I ended up doing that 3 days a week, which I hated. And at the time, I had my Jeep, which I loved, but it was not meant to be doing 65, 70 on a highway 3 times a week. So there was a bunch of challenges. And then when it was super hot, I would get here for the day, have 3 or 4 hours in between clients, and have nowhere to really go. And it was just, there was like a lot of challenges that I really remember. And again, I'm telling this because this is what all gave me knowledge to have a podcast and talk about everything. So I end up going, you know, I was in therapy twice, two different ladies, and the second one was telling me the benefits of AA. She said, it's the best free therapy in the world. And I said, I'll go. And that was kind of one of my claim to fames. I was never, you know, too anything to ask for help. Like, I'll go get help. And I'm like, you get to AA and you got to go, you know, I'm Tom, I'm an alcoholic. Now, but I didn't really think I was, but it didn't really matter. And I was, you know, self-medicating slightly. So I was like, you know, this is just a good place to go. And if all I got to do is go, hi, I'm Tom and I'm an alcoholic, that's it. I'll do it. And it's not like you're lying. It's like, Tom, I have a problem. Tom, I'm Tom and I'm admitting I have a problem and I'd like to be here. That's all you're saying. So it just became the greatest thing. And I made all these discoveries. It was 8 months, 3 times a week. And, you know, I always kind of talked about being Catholic, baptized, and being Christian, being baptized. And I'm like, I went to AA, and it was one of the, I mean, again, when I was in it, I was not in a great place. It wasn't fun. But I took away just these important lessons, and I always end up quoting things, and it's, you know, seldom from Catholicism and seldom from, you know, Christianity. And a bunch of times when I say something, next indicated step, how are you right now? Boom, AA. So the hardest time of my life, because at that time I then spouse was also seeing someone else. So she ended up cheating on me 3 times, and I didn't know. And one day she said she wanted to be alone. And I had to move out. And I'm like, well, where should I guess? I'm just going back to L.A. And I'm like, wow, I left L.A. And now it's like a year and a half, 2 years later, and I'm just going to go back. Like, go back to what and do what? And it was such a, I mean, I literally remember going, okay, don't feel, because you don't know how to comprehend the depth of what you're going through. Like, I kind of built this garage man room, and I had to take it apart. And I thought, what am I going to do with it? I can't store a garage full of stuff. And I'm like, I had to get a storage unit. I had to look for an apartment. I had to pack all my stuff. And for 3 weeks, I stayed there while all that was occurring. And one day, she said, you know, I want you to move out. And the next day, it was like we were roommates. And I was like, what? And again, she's seeing someone I didn't know, but I was like, how? It was just the hardest time. And then I remember I only looked at one place, filled out the application, and I got it. And I remember the first day I came here, and everything had switched on a dime. Like the fear I felt was, I'm living with this woman and she acts like she doesn't even like me, and what am I going to do, and where am I going to go, and what am I gonna, it was just this, all these unknown questions, no answers to any of them. And then I moved, I'm like, okay, here I am, day one. And there was this huge shift. I felt like this, okay, she was, you know, making me feel bad. She was stressing me out. I was walking on thin ice. I was a wreck, and I'm away from her. So there was this sense of I'm a little safer, but I now knew that the demon had changed his face. It wasn't her or my marriage ending or AA or whatever. It was like, okay, now what? You're 48, divorced twice. You just moved back to L.A., you used to pursue acting, you know, you used to go to the beach, take pictures, do photography, you know, do some woodworkings, all these things you used to do, and you haven't done any of them in 2 years. And you just got out of AA, and you're depressed. Go. And that was 6 years ago. And for the first year and a half, on a Sunday, I just didn't have clients, and I didn't have anywhere to go, so I didn't go anywhere. I just stay in my apartment all Sunday. And it became this thing where I like the world was moving and I was sitting in the center watching it. Like no one was calling. Like I lost touch with a bunch of people because I moved. And when I came back, I wasn't like, hey, let's go out, let's hang. I was depressed. I was bummed. I really didn't want to do anything. And the people I kind of knew were like, you know, well, we were a couple friends with. So now I wasn't a couple. So, you know, just things end, things change. So, and there's something that I recognize, like, I got to go through this quiet time. There are moments I'm like, wow, it's been 3 months. I can't believe it. And I'm like, wow, it's only been 3 months. Time would go fast and slow at the same time, which was trippy to me. And then I realized that once I stopped counting time, that was a good thing. Like, I think it was like, oh, it's been 5 months. Oh, it's been 6 months. And then pretty soon I was not counting the months or how long it had been. And then I got Zen. And right prior to Zen, I was like having some pains in my neck and back, and I would lay down at night and I couldn't sleep, and I started experiencing panic attacks post having this root canal. So I was having all these kind of issues and never problem sleeping, never anything. And all of a sudden at 50, I was like going, wow, I'm experiencing these. I like got out up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I had to go outside because I couldn't really feel like I could catch my breath. And my apartment's small, but it's not that small. And I was like, what? And it was just this like, I didn't have any of this written down. Like growing up, it's like everyone around me was married and had kids and had a home. And they weren't rocket scientists. These weren't huge, successful people. This was just everybody. So if I didn't even try hard, I'm like, well, I'm going to have a home and a job and kids and a yard. I just, look, that's all I know. And now I'm at 50, divorced twice, been depressed for, you know, a year and a half. Start, you know, kind of functioning and just realizing, like, where I was. Like, almost worse. Because there wasn't this, you know, confidence and conviction and comfortableness yet. So it's just like, now I'm having panic attacks. I can't. And then boom, Zen. And I had a Rottweiler for 15 years, on and off at the end. He was being taken care of someone else when I couldn't keep him at my place, but continued to be in touch with him. But I held him when he was put to sleep. It's the only time I've screamed in my life. So I went 8 years between getting a dog, and I was in an apartment in Hollywood, and I'm like, well, I'm not looking for a dog. I got to, you know, just like when I get a yard, when I get a home, and I just felt better. And when I felt better, I was like, let me go look. And if you're a dog lover, you don't go look because you will get one. But it was unbelievable to find Zen. I saw the photographs of the dogs they had, and I just remember seeing Zen's going, I've been around a lot of dogs, and I've never seen a dog like that. And he came out, and he was all this brindle. I don't really even, you know, recognize or, you know, knew much about brindles. I just, and all of a sudden, I was like, this is the most beautiful dog. And I was like, poof. You know, 12 hours to name him. Month later, got the name Zen tattooed on my arm. And people are like, who rescued you? In the beginning, I'm like, what are you talking about? I went to Berkeley. I paid. You know, I didn't. I rescued. What am I? And then it was about a month or two later, and I started going, okay, this spiritual being is in my life for a reason. He is here to teach me. And the first few months when he was a puppy, I wasn't even that good then. And I started realizing, like, wow. Like, the only thing this dog is afraid of is me when I get mad, and he doesn't do anything wrong. And it just, like, it was almost blinding how bad I was compared to Zen. But I thought, how cool is it that at 51 I got a dog and I want to be like him? And my world shifted and it got smaller. And I started sleeping better because I was sleeping with Zen, holding him on the floor. Walking him, started being busier, more active, kind of had to be more social, going to dog parks and taking Zen to the beach. It just became a thing, and all of a sudden it was, I didn't do anything anymore. It was Zen and I. And to back up a little bit, it was, you know, during Vegas when I sent out these emails every Sunday called Sunday Morning Messages, and that was kind of that thing. I'm going through this, I read this, I liked this, I started sharing. Because when I would share with clients, they would feel better. And I liked making people feel better. So I started sending out the Sunday morning messages, hoping that people would feel better. And if I got one reply, I was going to send out the next message next Sunday. And I was in my head a lot. Like, why are you doing this? People don't care about your stories and the things you share. And like I said, been doing it for 4 years, the podcast now, and 5-6 years before that, I kind of dabbled with Mikey Furman for a little bit, and just for whatever reason, obviously wasn't ready. And talking to Mr. Hardwick, he said, you know, you find your groove around year three. I was like, really? And you know, it's a long time to do a podcast, but around year three is when I was like, okay, here's my journal. This is what I'm doing, walking the earth, having experiences, and I'm just sharing those experiences. It just seemed like this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, my dog that I had passed, my older sister had passed, a girl I was dating had passed, so I knew I was still here to do something. And I knew that it wasn't going to be forever that I got to do anything or just to waste time. I was like, okay, why are you here? And I'm like, well, what I really like doing is just growing as a person. I like feeling better. I felt bad for a very long time, and I was taught to be very hard on myself. So undoing that and redoing something good was just a nice thing. And it wasn't this one therapist or that one place or the one church or the one meeting or the one group. It was all of those things that kind of gave me this vista. This pro-you vista that I now share. And again, all of a sudden I was like, okay, this is like the Sunday morning messages. Hey, I read this thing. Hey, I found this thing. Hey, this is what happened to me. And then I got people that I talk to, and they share, and they share their stories, and then I get to talk about that. And I've got some, you know, clients, online clients from it. So it's just grown and grown and grown into this thing. But it's like, there's not a podcast where I can't go, you know, I got to credit Tammy, my older sister. I mean, she impacted the last 2 years of the Sunday morning messages. I mean, everything I started sharing was about Tammy. And people didn't know me who I was sending out these emails to, and they surely didn't know Tammy. So I'm like, wow, how cool is that Tammy's story can affect people that she doesn't know, that I don't know. And it was just like the podcast. Well, here's my chance. Just to share this, my story. It's not a great story. It's not a wonderful story. It's not an amazing story. It's much bigger, amazing stories and people that have gone through way more stuff than I have. But it doesn't mean this is something from AA, I get to share my experience. You're in AA, you're like, this is my day. No one wants, I don't believe you. It's like, you don't get an opinion. You just stay your experience. You get to do that. Right, wrong, good, or bad, you get to share. You get to share your experience. Now, people cannot come, not listen, but you don't really get an opinion about someone's story, what they share, because that's why they're here. So for me, it was the same thing. I'm doing this podcast. What did it end up? I mean, my sister was a nurse. She was a wife. She was a mother of two. I mean, she was the head nurse at the hospital, and she was published. I mean, a home on the lake. I mean, she had some stuff going on here. And I started looking at my life, and I'm like, I got nothing really going on. It's quiet. I'm alone. But then Zen, and then the podcast, and they're like, okay, now I'm healing. I'm like, oh, hey, I didn't start this podcast so I could heal, but therapist, what do? You share. AA, what do? You share. What am I doing on the podcast? I'm sharing. But I started going deep. Like, I shared openly, I think, everywhere I've been. If it was a church, men's group, with a pastor, AA, wherever. But all of a sudden, I was like getting rid of things, and I went through all my old photo albums, and I pulled out old kid stuff, and I looked at photos, and I'm like, wow, I look scared, and I'm like, that's what I was, and found this old letter from Tammy, and I mean, all this stuff. All of a sudden, I was like, I would not have gone through all this and felt what I felt had I not had the podcast, because I was like, oh, I get to share this. So I was almost going, look, I'm going to go through this stuff, so I have fodder for the podcast. And then I started going, well, I went through this thing, and I'm like, okay, stop. Hey, that'll be good for the podcast. So all of a sudden, I started kind of creating a little distance between what was happening and how I felt about it, because I'm like, well, I at least get to share it on the podcast. That's kind of a cool thing. So it became everything to me. Like, I love working out. I love going to the beach. You know, I love living in California. I love my dog. I love doing art. I love everything. But when it's like, the most important things to me, Zen is four. It was a year when I got him. Podcast is four years. One episode at a time. And again, not trying to go, I'm going to make money. I'm going to have a bunch of followers. I'm going to have a bunch of listeners. Like, no, I'm just going to do this thing. Like the Sunday morning messages. I don't really know how many people received those, got those. I don't really know. But I can say 20 years later, I did it for 8 years. And I know I affected some people. I taught my class. I taught kickbox cardio for 20 years. And I know I affected some people. Wasn't the best instructor. Didn't have the biggest classes. Didn't have the biggest, legacy, nothing, but I know what I did. So here we are, 286 episodes I've done. Yes, I'm not tooting my horn, but it's like kind of the moral to the story. I started things and said, okay, I'm just going to be consistent. And that becomes the claim to fame. Not that one or that great one or what you got from it or how many people followed or liked it or nothing, just what did you do? What did you start? What did you continue? Little things done consistently. And, doing the podcast 286 times, those aren't even little things. Every episode is kind of a big undertaking. Probably takes me 3 or 4 hours a week to kind of do one episode. If I'm researching some things or writing some things or notes or I read something, it's always kind of on the back of my mind, and then I kind of gather it, get ready, set it up, record it, got to do the introduction, the pro you moment, make the picture, submit all that, do it, so there's some time involved. So again, when I'm thinking, okay, I've done that for 4 years, I've created 286 episodes. I know exactly what I'm thankful for, but in the big picture, that's what I'm thankful for. Thankful that I get to sit here today and go, wow, I've been doing this for 4 years. This is how many I've done. And it's kind of, when I was a kid, there wasn't the internet, there wasn't the web, there wasn't all that stuff where it's like, now stuff's out there forever. You can't take stuff back. And I don't want to take anything back. There's not one episode I regret. There's not one thing I said that I regret. Or, you know, when I'm done and gone, these episodes, I don't know where they'll be, but they'll be out there floating. And I'm thinking, well, what I'm, you know, the stuff I'm dropping right now, you know, putting down, laying down, that's there, whether it's, you know, on Facebook, on Instagram, no matter where it is, where I'm putting something, a product, fruits of my labor, I'm fine with it being here forever. I share my dog, I share my life, I share my experience. And again, the three C's: convicted, comfortable, and confident. And not that way all the time. Not that way getting here. And still, things I'm going to share in a moment, that it's like, you're still not, oh, and now I'm perfect. Now I'm totally there. Now I won't have bad days. I won't have tests. It doesn't happen like that. But when, again, if I go, I'm so thankful, Pro U Podcast is 4 years old. I get to do it. I'm so thankful that I get to do it. I'm so thankful for the listeners. And I know how much it's helped me heal. And I look back going, like, it's helped me get through everything. You know, because I got to share, you know, the accident with Zen, going, wow, you wouldn't believe, and sharing that with people. And, you know, again, it's that sharing. If there wasn't the listeners, you know, if there weren't the Sunday morning messages, email recipients, you know, there's not that flow. And when I started the podcast, I said, you know, kind of secretly, I want to create energy. You know, it's like, if I put something out and it lands and people receive it and they feel better, and then I find out they feel better, now I feel better. To me, that's energy. That's what you kind of create. So all of these things that I was going through, I'm kind of thankful for, because fodder for the podcast, I got to share it. But that whole process helped me heal. The whole process of that made me reflect, go, why did I do that? Let me stop and research, how do I feel about those things? Let me research that. Like, I was growing, learning, just diving into what I was going to share, which, you know, again, yellow, purple, total purple. And I'm thankful. Thankful, thankful. So a couple things I wanted to share. The live workout Wednesdays are one of the greatest things. And again, it's just like I said, I started going, I'm just going to do one a week. And first 10 or so, I remember really not even wanting to do, liking it, and going, ah. And then all of a sudden, 14, 15, it was like, okay, I feel good. And then I just did, you know, 22, 23, and I'm like, wow, these are really feeling good. Like, I'm thinking, planning, coming up, you know, challenging myself. And then I used to, you know, do a workout and not feel good next day or 2 days later, and be like, well, I haven't worked out in 3 days because something's out, something's whack. So everything's in alignment. And after those big workouts, I get up the next morning going, oh, I'm sore, I'm not going to run, and I end up running. I mean, I was running 6 mornings a week, and 2 weeks ago, Sunday, I go, I feel good, I'm going to run. And I was like, this is just happening. So again, it's not the live workout. It's not because I'm doing that, but that was something that made me accountable. And again, I did not want to really work out many of those Wednesdays, let alone be on live Facebook. I have to be on, and okay, I got to have a lesson, I got to teach, I got to, you know, I don't want to be a total dork, and, you know, when I do this. So it's just forcing myself to be uncomfortable, believing that the uncomfortableness would soon become comfortable. And that's kind of just the Pro-U path. I'm going to deem myself worthy of doing that thing. And again, I wasn't saying the first workout I felt great. I'm talking 7, 8, 9 weeks into it, I was like, man, why am I doing this? I knew if I started, I'd stick to it, but I kept questioning it. So you think, wow, he did something for 10 weeks. Once a week, online, live, and didn't want to. But he knew if he did enough of them, it would become comfortable. He would become confident, and he would become convicted. Now I'm telling people, here's what a 20-minute workout looks like. You do some cardio, you do some nutrition planning, and you bang out 20 minutes 3 times a week, you can maintain your fitness. You got to work out a little harder, maybe do a few things harder if you're trying to lose weight or build muscle or change, you know, an extreme amount of fitness. But you know, I'm challenging people to, you know, rep for rep, do the exercises, hang with me, you know, dance, I don't care, but for do it for 20 minutes, check the box, and just feel better. And I'm just going to do one. You know, that whole Zen approach, I'm just going to do one workout. A couple days later, go, wow, that felt good. I feel good. I'm going to do another one. So then this would be the shout out for any people thinking about chatting, maybe training, maybe getting online training going. You know, there's clients that I chat with. There's clients that I talk about nutrition with. There's clients that I have. We just meet on Skype and we work out. I run them through workouts. So there's a whole variety of things, but I just didn't want anyone out there who's going, well, should I? What's that like? What's it going to be like? You know, just shoot me a message, proupodcast@gmail.com or on social media, Facebook, the Pro U Podcast page, any one of those. Just give me a message, shout out. I want to talk. I want to just share something. I'd like to talk about whatever. Can I get you help? Whatever it is, I am here. I just want to stress that point. So we get to my latest, and this is kind of continuing the journey. The journey and the journal. You know, I'm focusing on two things. And the more I focus on them, the more I realize, wow, these aren't just little itty-bitty things going to go away quickly. My anger and the financial stress. So, you know, the flat tire, I talked about that, missing the dentist, and then I had to pay the bill, and, you know, just all this money stuff. And I was like, and February being a short month, so again, I could just tell there was this hum, this little, not a real 100% where I am for the month. And I'm like, well, so what? Well, meanwhile, Zen has had this ear problem. He had two of these hematomas in an ear, and they went away. Got one in his other ear, and it wasn't going away. Back and forth to the vet three times, getting medication. And I really had to hold my dog's head still, which is impossible. I'd have Zen not to shake his head, and it went over a month, almost 2 months. So I know that was kind of adding to it, because like, if he does not stop shaking his head, that hematoma doesn't stop bleeding. It keeps filling up. And if it keeps filling up and just go away, surgery. So there's just this impending, hey, February's a short month. Hey, Zen's ear's not better. And when his ear's not better, he's not running, he's not playing, because I really can't let him. So it's this whole, like, you know, kind of muffling his fun. He doesn't really feel that good. You know, he knows that thing's in his ear. But every once in a while, he'll just shake super hard because he's a dog. And I got to get to him super quick. But he'll get two or three in there. And I'm like, okay, now it's back to square one. So I had to research, and I found out it was a happy hoodie. And I'm like, it really depends upon what words you pick. Am I going to just randomly pick happy hoodie? And then a week after that, someone's like, oh, there's actually a no-flap ear wrap. And I'm like, why didn't someone tell me about a no-flap ear wrap a month ago? It would have saved me time, money, frustration, energy. And so it's just, I knew that was kind of weighing on me. Like, it's not getting better. I got to jump on him every time. You know, you kind of end up yelling, and I was just stressed about it. And then it was the money thing and the short month and rent. And so when you're dealing with a test, how you deal with the test directly determines the outcome of the test. Obviously, I was not doing well. My car insurance had recently gone up because address. Change of address went through, and I knew it was going through, so it bumped up, and it was quite extensive. It went from like $550 to $750. So this is like 2 months ago, and I got the renewal notice yesterday. And the renewal notice for 6 months was $1,155. Yes, that's right, $1,155. And I'm like, I was kind of bracing for when I was going to get the $750 bill. Called up, it's an accident that wasn't on the record, that just went on that last little one when I was taking Zen to the vet, and I turned and nicked. Now, these are little bitty things, accidents, but so that one was a point, and then it knocked me out of the good discount drive or whatever, and there was the big, this was just done. And it was like, man, I start digging my way out, and I look out of the hole, and someone had just pulled a pushed a big, huge pile of dirt right outside the hole. And I was not even done filling this hole. And this big mound of dirt came in going, okay, now I got to climb over. And it kind of hit me, and it kind of hit me hard. And it was about 10 minutes before I had a client. And this is the same client, Mr. Morrison, where I grabbed my scrotum a few months ago and like, hey, and I sat down with him for a session. He goes, how are you? And I'm like, well, and it was the same thing. He goes, how are you? And I was like, I just got home a little while ago and, you know, got an email and called the insurance place and it's correct. And I go, and it was funny because, you know, he shared a story. He's the same thing. Him and his wife got this bill and he's like, what am I going to do about it? He says, you know, I actually kind of dealt with it really well and it was for a car problem and got a buddy to hook him up with a friend. So all of a sudden it was getting fixed for a lot less, but it was still, you know, kind of an expensive fix that wasn't planned. And then magically he found money and a check that he had not cashed, he found. And I thought, wow, there it was. I mean, the dude's like showing off right in front of me. I didn't even know it. But he was like, I didn't really trip out or stress about the big bill. And before I knew it, it was already a smaller bill. And then I found money. I was like, there you go. How you deal with a test directly determines the outcome of the test. And he knew he dealt better. And then it got easier. And then it almost went away. And I thought, wow, see, February, I wasn't doing well with the test. Like, you were still worried about money? You didn't think you'd rent, pay for rent in October, November, December, January. And it was just money there for you. Every end of the month, go to the envelope, there it was. And you're still tripping about money. Okay, boom, here's a bill. And I was like, okay, so that's not going to be $550. It's going to be $1,150. And that's every 6 months for the next 5 years. I just did that. It was kind of like this, you know, to really put it in black and white. Like, that's the bill I just bought. But since Mr. Morrison was showing off, I always feel better. Not that I feel bad talking before I talk to people, but I felt better after talking to him. And it was great hearing his story. And loved, you know, I shared again last time about how great my clients were doing. So I loved hearing his story. And I'm like, that's what I got to do because it doesn't matter. You know, I made a couple hasty decisions that were little small fender benders, but it doesn't matter. They're done. Nothing you can do is how you're going to respond and move forward. And then it was just this trippy thing because I got done with him. And before I talked to him, it had already sank in. I'm not doing anything today. This is one of those days where I'm going to bum and watch movies and eat whatever and not care because I know I'm going to bum. I set that almost, and that was the old me 10, 20 years ago. I would have said, okay. And it would have been that day. It would have been the next day. It would have been like, okay, so bummed on myself. I'm just so stressed. I can't deal this. I don't know how I'm in it. It just would have, and I would have just welcomed it. I'd have just owned it, embraced it, let it fill me because I didn't think I had a choice. But I was like, okay. In the recent day or two, how Zen's ear, it stopped. I can tell, you know, I went through the other ones. You know, I can tell when it stops growing, it's getting worse. You can just see it. And I'm like, well, that's not headed for surgery. So let's say that lasts another, and the last month the vet, he says, you got to wait a couple more months. I'm like, okay, so figure like another month and a half of this, you know, putting the happy hoodie on. Maybe you got to spend more money, get the no ear flap, you know, still no running, no plan, no going to the beach because it gets sandy and shakes. You got to have that. And then in a month or two, have surgery. What's that going to cost? I was like, okay, let's go back to the accidents. What if you were more in a rush and they were bigger accidents or you hurt somebody or your car was jacked and you were still trying to get that fixed? I mean, again, it just could have been so much worse. But I was like, okay, I'm okay, and I have the money, and I can pay it, and Zen's healthy, and I'm healthy, and we both ran this morning. It was so great, because I went to the beach the other day, and he was perfectly fine, and running Zen circles, and this morning I brought him to the park, and like the first time he could kind of run and play with this other dog, and he's having this great time, and we came back, and he's like, let's play tug of war. I'm like, he's not had this much energy in like almost 2 months, and I was like, oh, he's getting old, you know, like the last time he was hurt. I was like, I get this sense that, oh, it's coming, it's happening. He's changing, and then all of a sudden it was just, I'm only four. He wanted to play, and I'm like, okay, I got to take you here. And I was all excited. I'm like, there you go. What do you want to look at? There's part of me that just keeps on waiting for that crystal clear vista with no challenges or problems or financial stress. And no one making me mad. I just want all that to go, and it's not going to go away. I'm talking to Mr. Morrison again, and we talk about Beautiful Mind. End of the movie, wins the Nobel Peace Prize, still married to the beautiful, wonderful wife, and gets the award. Where's your delusions? Boom, right there. As Mr. Morrison was talking about his father kind of having like a paranoia thing, and him kind of having that as an adult, and then, you know, him kind of being a little bit that way with his children, and then stopping, going, wait a minute, that's like actual baggage that I'm carrying. Why would I want to give that to my children and ask them to carry that? Hey, these were my worries and doubts and fears as a child due to my parents, so now I'm going to pass those on to you. Again, highly aware dude, making conscious choices. So if you're focused on, hey, I'm working on things, these are the things I'm working on, these are the things I'm getting better at, that's feel good. If you're going, I don't want to be challenged anymore, I want to be perfect, I don't want to suffer, I don't want to feel bad, I don't want to make mistakes that cost me time and money, then you're going to suffer more. You know, because it's like 54 going to be end of March. Been doing the podcast 4 years. Therapy, AA, all that stuff. And I'm like, okay, here's what I know. You know, it's a lot to do with watching that movie about the Buddha story. There's going to be suffering. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have bad days. You're going to lose people around you. The things that you love and care about, you're not going to have forever. In your 40s, in your 50s, you'll start experiencing things that you've never experienced before. Things will happen along your path that you've never imagined, predicted, wanted. And you won't want to own it. You won't want to embrace it. You want to fight it. Until you let go. And you start going, okay, my life's going this way. Here I am, 54, almost, you know, married, divorced twice, you know, not talking to your family, living in Hollywood with your dog. This is what you're doing. Now, you can grab that, run with it, be thankful, or you can piss and moan and complain and whine and be a victim. And I talked to a friend the other night, and she was adopting a child. And I said, when did you start? She said, when she was four. And I go, how old is she now? She goes, she's turning eight. We talked about her 4 years and what she had gone through. And she also had to take care of her niece for a year and a half. And I'm like, how did you do that? She goes, well, went to the hospital 3 times in a year. And it was that funny, not funny thing, but that's what it took. You know, that's how much it took a toll on her. Now, again, it's not that she was doing anything wrong. It was just a lot. But she made it through it, and she can look back in hindsight and know how strong she is because she made it through it. How thankful she is because she made it through it. With the clarity that I'm not done with everything. I just know that I made it through the tough stuff, which means that I can make it through other tough stuff, more tough stuff if need be, because I'm old enough to know it's out there. I really can't avoid it. I just have to go through it, grow through it, and respond accordingly. So, cost versus benefit. You know, did it cost me, you know, the insurance going up that's costing me money? Or it was like, well, now you're going to drive better than you've ever driven for the next 5 years. And you're going to be super thankful driving around that Zen's healthy and you're healthy and you both ran this morning and Zen's got a bunch of money. Zen's got a bunch of energy and feels great. And, you know, it's warming up. And we went to the beach yesterday and it's like, well, there you go. What do you want to look at? That's it. Just what do you want to look at? You won the Nobel Peace Prize. Where are your delusions? Right there. Okay, what do you want to look at? Your wife and the Nobel Peace Prize or your delusions? What do you want to dwell on? What do you want to focus on? What do you want to put your time and energy into? So I think yellow is the cost. Oh, my insurance went up. And purple's the benefit. Well, here's what I learned. I know I was having a rough time the last year. I know I was struggling that the whole summer in Zen and hurt and the splint and the money and me being stressed and the dentist and the, you know, dental surgery, falling out of the wheelchair, broken nose. I mean, it was not an easy time for me. And I'm like, yeah, and I made some driving errors. And now I'm paying for those. That's it. Nothing I can do about it. Not happy. But whining, complaining, being angry, dwelling on it, it's just not going to do anything. And there's just these moments where I would look down at Zen yesterday and today going, okay, this is what's important. This is what's important. I'm like, I just got to focus on Zen. You know, focus on being a good dog owner today. Enjoy that Zen's healthy today. And again, making that world smaller. This is what I'm going to focus on right now. I ate today. Zen's healthy. I ran. He ran this morning. He played this morning and then we both ran. And then I got to record this podcast. My 286th episode that I've been doing for 4 years now. Not a bunch of money, not a bunch of fame, not a bunch of followers, not a bunch of anything. But I did it. It's mine. I can say it. I don't need to take anything back. It'll always be here. And that's what I have. That's the water that I sell when you come to my well. And I'm just hoping that you get to that point of that vista when you can see what you're going through and you can ask yourself, are you growing through it as well? And you can pause and stop and reflect and be thankful and choose what to look at along your pro-you path. So here's a thing I'm going to end with. No author again. All right, how we treat people. First important lesson, cleaning lady. During my month of college, our professor gave us a pop quiz. I was a conscious student and breezed through the questions until I read the last one. What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school? Surely this was some kind of joke. I had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was all dark-haired in her 50s, but how would I know her name? I handed in my paper, leaving the last question blank. Just before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward our quiz grade. Absolutely, said the professor. In your career, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello. I've never forgotten that lesson. I also learned her name was Dorothy. Second important lesson, pick up in the rain. One night at 11:30 p.m., an older African-American woman was standing on the side of an Alabama highway trying to endure a lashing rainstorm. Her car had broken down and she desperately needed a ride. Soaking wet, she decided to flag down the next car. A young white man stopped to help her, generally unheard of in those conflict-filled 1960s. The man took her to safety, helped her get assistance, and put her into a taxi cab. She seemed to be in a big hurry, but wrote down his address and thanked him. 7 days went by, and a knock came on the man's door. To his surprise, a giant console color TV was delivered to his home. A special note was attached. It read, "Thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along. Because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me and unselfishly serving others. Sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole." Third important lesson, always remember those who serve. In the days when an ice cream sundae cost much less, a 10-year-old boy entered a hotel coffee shop and sat at a table. A waitress put a glass of water in front of him. "How much is an ice cream sundae?" he asked. 50 cents, replied the waitress. The little boy pulled his hand out of his pocket and studied the coins in it. "Well, how much is a plain dish of ice cream?" he inquired. By now, more people were waiting for a table, and the waitress was growing impatient. 35 cents, she briskly replied. The little boy again counted his coins. "I'll have the plain ice cream," he said. The waitress brought the ice cream, put the bill on the table, and walked away. The boy finished the ice cream, paid the cashier, and left. When the waitress came back, she began to cry as she wiped down the table. There, placed neatly beside the empty dish, were 2 nickels and 5 pennies. You see, he couldn't have the sundae because he had to have enough left to leave her a tip. Fourth important lesson, the obstacles in our path. In ancient times, a king had a boulder placed on a roadway. Then he hid himself and watched to see if anyone would remove the huge rock. Some of the king's wealthiest merchants and courtiers came by and simply walked around it. Many loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but none did anything about getting the stone out of the way. Then a peasant came along, carrying a load of vegetables. Upon approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his burden and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. After much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. After the peasant picked up his load of vegetables, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained many gold coins and a note from the king indicating that the gold was for the person who removed the boulder from the roadway. The peasant learned that what many of us never understand, every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve our condition. Fifth and final important lesson, giving when it counts. Many years ago when I worked as a volunteer at a hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liz who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I'll do it if it will save her." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in the bed next to his sister and smiled, as we all did, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked up at the doctor and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give his sister all of his blood in order to save her life. That one got me. Thank you for listening. The podcast is super important to me. And no matter what I ever got from it, I would still do it. Because of what I do get from just doing it. So thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. You are worth it. welcome to your pro-you moment. To think there's some of you out there that have been doing this for 4 years with me. There's a bond there. There's a relationship. You know, when you get to the end of the podcast, this moment will be here. My voice will be here. 4 years consistently, 286 times. Thank you for being you. Let's begin to control that which we can. If you can sit on the floor, cross our legs, fantastic. Wherever you're seated, however you're seated, let's close our eyes. Let's go through that body. Neutral neck, shoulders over the hips. Navel tucked into the spine. Drawing that inhale through the nose. Exhaling out of the mouth. That's kind of our mindset right there. Where's your body? How you feeling? What's your breath doing? Can you control it? Can you slow it down? Can you elongate it? And just like that, you're connected to the moment. Because you're choosing your thoughts, and your mind is thinking about a bodily function which connects the mind and the body, making you present. So let's do our best to be present for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Congratulations on a hugely successful pro-you moment. And whether that was one of many, and you've been here a long time, or that was your first one, thank you for being here. Thank you for deeming yourself worthy. At the end of a four-year stint, I can look back and know the one thing I've always said is the one claim to fame. I just never quit. I just never gave up. And there were times I felt like there wasn't really an option. Things weren't good. It was dark. I was alone. I was afraid. And I didn't understand a lot. But I simply did not quit. I never quit on me. And I had to redo a lot, relearn a lot, and reteach myself how to think and what voices were good and what people were good. When I went through that list of the words that changed in meaning and definition at the age of 50, that's pretty heavy. But again, I am better, so I am thankful for all that happened to me. I'm thankful for all that I went through, because through all of that, good and bad, it made me who I am. You have an experience, and then you have a choice to make, and if you're responding how you choose after each experience, well, right there you're demonstrating probably a side of you that you've never demonstrated, and gaining clarity and perspective as you do that. And that's a muscle, and it will grow, and it will empower you. And once you feel different than you did for 48 years, trust me, you'll keep walking that path, thinking those thoughts, saying those words, doing those things. Because you're worth it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. Thank you for joining me for these pro-you moments. Peace and God bless.